Before we get started today, just want to thank our brand new sponsor, Oyster. Oyster is a beautifully designed subscription-based app that gives you the access to read unlimited ebooks for only $9.95 a month. What? Sheer, that's less than $10. I know. Think Netflix for books. They have everything from The Hobbit to Stephen King to thousands of New York Times bestsellers and Oprah's picks. And we all love a good Oprah pick. So head on over to oysterbooks.com/how, that's H-O-W, for your first month absolutely free. Oyster, the world is yours for the reading. Hey everyone, just a reminder before we start the show, we have live, yes, live shows coming up on July 19th in Los Angeles. You can see me, Jason, June, and a very special guest at Largo for two shows at 8 and 10 p.m. in a theme night that we're calling Sweaty Italian Men in Sequins. And if it's Italian men and bad movies, it's gotta be Stallone and Travolta. That's right, the 8 p.m. show is the Stallone-directed, Travolta starring, Staying Alive, and at 10 p.m., it's the Stallone starring Rhinestone. The 8 p.m. show is totally sold out, but there are a handful of tickets for the 10 p.m. show left, so get your tickets today at largola.com. And if you want to come to both shows, keep checking the website because tickets will have a tendency to become available as it gets closer to the show day. And if we are going to release these extra tickets, you can find out because we'll be letting everyone know via our Twitter page, which is at HDTGM. So get the inside scoop first from us. We'll see you there. Oh, and by the way, if you're coming, bring some extra pocket cash because we have a very special piece of merch that is available nowhere else and possibly for one night only. And our final announcement, this is a live show. So there are some things that we talk about that are visual in nature. We try our best to describe them, but don't get too bent out of shape if you can't figure out what's happening. Just create your own image in your mind. And actually for this episode, we actually have created a clip. There's a clip that we talk about at length, and you can find that clip on our Twitter page and on our Facebook page. It's amazing. I don't want to spoil it for you, but when you know the clip that we're talking about, you'll get it, and you'll come and find it. All right, enjoy the show. Being a nanny is hard because kids are assholes. We saw Mr. Nanny, so you know what that means.
Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, Los Angeles! We are here at our Los Angeles home, Largo, one of the best theaters in LA. You have to come check it out. But we are here tonight for our second part of Hulkamania. Hulkster has done a family film, and we are going to talk all about it. It's a heartwarming night here. But before we get started, let me bring out my co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. And Jason Manzoukas. We have a... How are you both?
I'm doing
awesome!
How are
you? We have a very special guest tonight, the very funny, the very talented Rob Corddry! Yeah! Oh my gosh.
Just played slide guitar for them.
It was really nice. I really liked what you did there. Hulk would play slide guitar for them too, I imagine. Guys, Mr. Nanny is not a Hulk Hogan movie. It's a Terry Hogan movie.
It's a Terry Hulk Hogan movie.
This is, I think, when he was trying to branch out, when his characters were wrestlers, but that wasn't the main thing. They
were
different.
Well, this is a challenge that I feel like Dwayne The Rock Johnson has also had to confront.
Yes.
You know, is
same thing
really
for Randy Savage.
Yes, Macho Man?
Yeah, oh yeah, is that what they called him? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, are you talking about Macho Man?
Oh, I guess so, yeah. I forgot that was even his
name. Of course.
I know him as Randy Savage.
The Iron Sheik has done no work on in this field at all.
I have an Iron Sheik app on my phone that's an alarm clock that was clearly recorded on an iPhone. The sound is terrible. It's like, get up, you fucking dummy! It's amazing. Monday! I hate Mondays!
Wait.
It's amazing.
Is he doing a Garfield impression?
Lasagna! I love lasagna! John is so stupid!
Odie, you are so stupid!
I get away with so much here. This is a medium I can say anything in. It's an alarm clock app. I can say the N-word if I want.
Oh, man. Mr. Nanny is, I almost will start it with a quote from Hulk Hogan here.
Please do.
He goes, everyone...
I would love it if you said, I was going to start it with a quote from Nietzsche.
Everyone.
By the way, I'm gonna comment when June gets up and walks around.
Yeah.
Now you've
He's refused
just
to not comment.
You've just blown it.
You guys don't have to, but I'm not a host of this show, so I'm gonna tell the people at home what's going on. Go ahead.
It's really weird. It's
so
really weird.
So this is Terry Hogan talking about this movie. Everyone knows Everyone knows me from Rocky III.
Yeah. Yep. Please end it there. That's it. That's where we all know Hulk from.
Period.
Everyone knows me from Rocky III. But I think the movie that was my favorite movie that the kids loved, and what I was hoping would be a breakthrough movie for me was Mr. Nanny. Everyone's made that same movie. Arnold made it, Stallone made it, and I actually thought that with comedic relief and how funny it was and how good the kid actors were, I thought it would be a home run. But it did what it did.
It did what it did.
It was good, but it wasn't that breakthrough that would put me in the same category in Hollywood that I was in wrestling. I thought it would have been great if I could carry that weight of wrestling into the box office and the weight of the box office into wrestling. Thought it would have been a perfect marriage.
I promise not to make a sex tape someday.
Promise broken.
But he's right. Millions of people have made this movie, but well, they did not want to see him make it.
I would actually argue that the movie, the premise of the movie, yes, we've seen before, and it's been successful. The problem I had with it was that... I want to pitch a stronger premise for this movie, which would be that...
You want to pitch them the movie that it is and then show your reverse?
Well, I guess the movie... Well, I don't even know how to get into the movie that it is.
All right, then pitch the...
Well,
it's two movies, it's, by the way.
It truly is.
That's my premise. Go on.
But... So... I would just have him think he's showing up to be a security guard. That would be the premise. And then find out, upon arrival, that he's actually been hired to be a nanny.
Like he's duped.
He's sort of been duped. There was some sort of miscommunication.
Like the kids are so
violent. I'm not going to get into the logistics of how all these beats work out.
Because what you're describing is roughly the same thing.
No, it's not, though. No, it's not.
This?
See, that's my
not
problem.
At all.
It's not at all.
Because
the same.
That is exactly what happens in this movie.
Yeah.
No, it's
Thank
not.
You. That's exactly
no,
what happens.
I'm going to jump around a little bit, but there's a scene
please,
toward
please,
the end of the
do.
Movie. There's a scene toward the end of the movie where the cook says...
Mother Love.
says, you weren't a nanny the whole time.
Oh. Okay.
He's confused that he wasn't actually hired to be a nanny.
Wait, what?
I am now confused. Well, no, he was hired as... He's a wrestler who had some sort of bad accident that gives him nightmares.
Or that gives him... It gives him, honestly, a nightmare at the beginning of the movie.
No, it gives him night terrors. Like, his nightmare is so strong that it makes him fly back.
Yes, that's true.
When he gets hit in his nightmare, which means he has a neurological disorder.
Yeah.
at the start of this movie.
And he spends his days, when we first open on him, just fishing out on a dock.
Sleeping.
Sleeping.
Upright.
Upright. And when he finally catches a fish, it's so small, he throws it back.
He throws it back because he's a nice guy.
It's a save the cat moment.
Yes.
For those of you who want to know about screenwriting, you gotta show your heroes doing something nice. In this, he literally saves a fish.
There's also a song.
But what we now know about, what we know though, is that that fish, having been hooked, caught, and touched by human hands, is now compromised to a degree that its death is all but assured.
Oh, he'll be rejected.
It's actually very cruel.
Hogan's mind only.
Yeah, it's very cruel to throw that fish back at
that
this
fish,
point.
That fish, no, all the other fish are like, buddy, you're contaminated. He is beginning to die already.
I also think David Johansen, who plays the villain and does the soundtrack.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Buster Poindexter for some of you.
The New York Dolls,
which he's, yeah, he was the precursor to punk rock until this moment.
Yeah.
He actually has a song in there called, like, Gone Fishing, Have Nightmares, and then I gotta be a nanny.
Well, you know, the movie
They're all
was...
very literal songs.
Very literal.
The movie was originally called Rough Stuff.
Last song in the movie.
Which makes sense, because the end song is like, Rough Stuff! For 4 minutes.
Which tells you... It's the whole plot of the movie David Johansen recites to you.
Let me ask you this. If you saw a poster for a movie and it was Hulk Hogan and two little kids and it said, Rough Stuff. What do you think is happening in that movie?
Well,
that
these
is not
kids,
a family friendly movie.
These hey, you kids, guys want to go see Rough Stuff.
The kids in the movie get the shit kicked out
constantly
of them.
By adults. They just get slapped and knocked around.
But the kids are also terrorists.
Yeah, kids got it coming.
There's also a molestation scene that we'll get to later.
Yeah.
So basically, I was shocked. I don't know if you guys were when it, you know, the movie says like Terry Hulk Hogan, and then it says Sherman Hemsley. He is the second lead actor from, you know...
The Hughleys.
I think of him as from the...
I know him from the Hughleys.
The Jeffersons, amen, classic Sherman. Sherman Hemsley...
Classic Sherman.
Sherman and Terry have a great opening scene where it seems like they forgot to record sound. It's shot from across a lake, and it doesn't look like any of that dialogue was... I don't know if their mouths are moving, but it definitely isn't the sound from that day. It is a full scene from far away. It's like, I told you this. Well, I never did that. Well, I want to be a wrestler again. Well, you got to come with me. So they basically, Terry wants to get back into wrestling, but Sherman runs some sort of...
This is where it's mysterious.
I have a lot of questions about Sherman Hemsley in this movie.
Me
A
too.
Lot of questions. And I thought I had a real hold on it until, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie when he's in a policeman's dress uniform.
Yeah.
At which point, my brain folded into itself. I shit my pants and came at the same time.
You're racist.
Yep.
He was promoted to full L.A. confidential captain.
What? He lives in a home that is being... The telephone is being ripped out of.
Yes.
But he's a policeman?
Well, wait. This is my concern.
What?
No,
wait.
I think that he was hired at the end not as an officer of the law. I think he was promoted to, like, head security for this family.
He's wearing a badge!
I know, because it's a special... Because it's a special outfit that
he's
they
wearing
gave him.
Braids, military style.
Yeah, Miami-Dade County official uniform.
I will say this.
I think it's just like a Richie Rich uniform.
Oh, yeah?
Like a super fancy one.
That's a good point.
Sherman is having some bad luck. When Hulk asks him in the beginning of the movie, he goes, when's the last time you ate? He says, a week ago.
And things are bad.
Things are very bad. Now, He convinces Sean Armstrong. That's Terry Hogan's name in the movie. He convinces Sean Armstrong to take this security gig. Now, it was my belief that if he took this gig, Sherman would get some money, but it doesn't seem to be translating to him at all, that money from the gig.
Okay, I guess maybe I thought at one point, because I was so deeply confused, that Sherman was his former manager, right?
Yes.
So that maybe...
For
15 years. So maybe
took
they
a bullet
still
for him.
Have...
Took a
bullet for him. Very close relationship. Maybe they still have some sort of contract where whatever Sean Armstrong makes, he gets a cut of.
Well, what is it? Like 10%? 15%? What are we talking about?
Even if he's just procuring him a security job, I would still think he is entitled to
That was the whole thing,
money.
No. Yeah. He runs a security company. He's like, I got you this job. And I'm like, he's like a headhunter.
What I don't need to do is call a security company and have it be a guy whose phone is being repossessed.
Well, my question...
Who lives in, like, a cartoonishly destitute hovel.
That's racist.
And even the repo men's truck have a sense of humor. It's like, your poverty is our wealth. Like, it says that on the sign. It's like, that's a little bad message to be sending.
Actually, that's pretty funny. There are some really funny moments in this movie. Few and far between, don't get me wrong.
The idea, though, that this man who is the head of this giant corporation, like, think Bill Gates. Like, that's like that type of guy, I guess. Like, you know, that's what I think they're trying to go after. Like,
well, Bill, no, he started the company as Garage.
Yeah.
So it's Steve Jobs, right?
Okay, so Steve Jobs, yeah. So he's Steve Jobs. And he's calling Sherman Hemsley for the guy we need to get.
No.
Well,
see,
no,
this
his
is what
security
I think.
Guy
what I think
is doing
his
that.
Security guy calls Sherman Hemsley, and what we find out is that his security guy is working
Correct.
For the bad guy. So I think he hired what he probably thought was some bullshit security.
That's exactly
guy.
What he said at one point.
Oh, okay. Right. I missed that part.
I hired
things are getting
I hired
a lot
the
clearer.
Broke down guy from the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he can't do anything right.
He got some ex-wrestler named Hulk Hogan.
Right. But it's Sherman's security company. Do they install, like, systems and stuff?
Or, yes.
Yep.
Or do they
That's a great
have,
question.
Like,
are they ADT? Or are you like, they have an ADT?
Yep. Can I get, like, cameras? Do they do networking?
They're living in shacks.
Yeah, like, so, he lives in a post-Katrina environment.
Absolutely.
Like, just, if absolutely. You haven't seen the movie, he looks like he lives in a house from Tremé.
I was gonna say that, and it's so run down. It's so, but at the same time, realistic because it's so run down.
Well, it's like Sanford and Son at first.
This is racist. Yeah.
This is racist?
Yep. Yeah.
I get my black shows mixed up.
It's so bad that they're taking his only burner, but he's keeping the teapot. For what? Who knows? That last cup of tea.
So Bill Gates, or whatever, Steve Jobs, it hires Hulk Hogan to be his security detail because he's invented a computer chip that is going to power a rocket that is going to bring peace to the world because
it shoots down rockets.
It's social commentary.
It's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars.
And by the way, Hulk Hogan finds out this information. He's a security guard. He's just the muscle.
Yeah. Can we
he's a klutz.
They deliver this company's top secret information within the first 3 minutes of him arriving.
Wait, but this is the best part about it though, because again, you think Hulk is a real lunkhead, a real dummy. And you know, they go like, "Do you even know what a microchip is?" And he's like, Hulk trying so hard to remember his lines.
Yes.
Yes, a microchip is a conductor that transmits energy over pieces of things, but so small. You see his eyes like, meow, meow, meow. There's no conviction behind
Which,
that
by the
definition.
Way, I took issue with because later on, when the younger kid is in super into like technology and unlike mechanics and everything, Hulk doesn't seem to know anything about
anything.
He doesn't
know what a toilet seat is later on.
Or a magnet.
Yeah.
Hulk doesn't understand magnets in this movie.
Oh, man.
Oof.
What was that there? Oh, just before we get into the main part of the movie, there was one thing I wanted to just examine. Like, at one point when Sherman Hemsley says he hasn't eaten for a week, and then, like, he takes a security gig, Sherman goes, like, what else he got to eat? And then Hulk just goes, "Rrr!" and slams the table. But, like, is he angry that he's eating more of his food? I didn't quite get what...
That was one of the moments in the movie where I thought, like, this is a missed opportunity for Hulk to break something. Because he's often in the movie breaking things and throwing them. Or like, bending them.
Yes.
Yep.
Bending or breaking them and throwing them. And it's
Ripping them.
What?
Or ripping them in half.
Ripping them.
And his main fighting technique is just tossing. There needs to be... And by the way, for a wrestler in this movie, we'll get into it, but he's a terrible fighter. He seems to be a terrible fighter.
He's terrible. And to juxtapose him to the movie we just did, No Holds Barred, amazing. In that movie, he's a flawless fighter. In this, he's like broke down and he doesn't see. He loses most of his fights.
And do we know why he stopped wrestling?
I'm assuming it was as a result of the shooting gone awry.
Yeah, is that why he's having night terrors? The lead singer of the New York Dolls shot him in the
tried
leg.
Tried to shoot him.
Well, he tried to shoot Sherman.
He tries to shoot Hogan in the dick. Because that's Kids where movie. Sherman Hemsley's leg is when it gets shot. Right in front of Hogan's dick. So, guess what? Sherman Hemsley didn't take a bullet and save your life. He just saved your dick. Because
which
you
is
live.
More valuable in Hulk's world than anything else.
He's like, I gotta make a sex tape in a bunch of years.
Shoot me in the head. With don't Bubba shoot me in the moneymaker.
I'll tell you something, Mean Gene.
Do you think that Hulk's pubes are as nicely groomed as his hair on the side of his head? Just like...
He has just... Or do you think it's... They're also just sad doll's hair. It's sad doll's hair on top, sad doll's hair on bottom. Just some loose strands of much too fine hair.
I hate it.
For a big burly man, he has like an infant girl's hair.
June, to get to your point too about them revealing the secrets right away, basically Hulk just goes, he's like, well, I'm working on a very secret plan. And Hulk's like, tell me or I'm out of here. And he's like, okay. So that was how it was revealed. That was all the arm twisting that was required.
And what's happening, he's got this microchip. He's going to power the peace missile. And there's a bad guy who wants to steal it. There's a bad guy who's like calling him. My favorite thing is Bill Gates. Bill, the equivalent thereof, Austin Pendleton is just playing him. Bill Gates is in his office. His phone rings and he's like, hello, Austin Pendleton. Like, he picks up his own phone, answers it, and it's the bad guy.
Oh, but we didn't even talk about the fact that moments before he's like, let me open my desk drawer, and then like a baby powder bomb goes off. Yeah. He gets it in and he's like,
what was that?
He's a mad scientist.
But what was it? It was an idea
that was jettisoned later on.
What was the point of having David Johansen putting that? Because David Johansen calls me and is like, did you get my surprise or whatever?
Because he was like, I can get to you. I can get that close to you. It's a fear tactic.
All right, it's punk rock. It's called punk, post-punk rock.
Now, Rob, I don't want to.
It's called punked rock. Because you just got punked.
I don't want to pimp you out, Rob, but we were talking before the show. You said that, like, Rob knows that I like stuff, and we like stuff that is like so bad it's good. And you are not a fan.
Paul and I have had a discussion over the years for a long time that I do not understand his fascination with the genre so bad it's good, which this whole podcast is based on. And yet I find myself listening to the podcast going, why? Thinking like, they had to watch this shit. And I've seen shit with Paul, and he's like, that was awesome. And I'm like, I don't get it.
I dragged him to the Bill and Ted Halloween show.
Today, yes, today I had to watch it. And I was literally down to the wire. I had to watch my kids at like 4:30 or 5, and it was like 2 o'clock, and I was like, oh, I gotta watch it now. It was today, and I was like, but those air filters in the air conditioning need to be changed. I wait, you know, you should change those once a month.
Once and a month?
That's
once
excessive.
A month, you have to...
That's excessive.
Not a myth. You have to change them once
well,
a month.
You, that, I mean, you
air
don't
filters?
Want, like, you know, shit growing. You can get Legionnaire's disease.
Yo.
There can be a lot of
whole
stuff.
Whole host of things
oh,
you could get.
Oh, don't get me started.
Poop gets in there, the whole deal.
Oh, maybe
listen.
That's I had a very nasty stomach virus this week. Spent most of the week just shitting my brain.
I have to say, for someone who is so cleanly...
Yeah.
You have now been sick twice for a weeks at a time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're always sick.
I don't know what's going on. As my doctor said when I was describing to him.
When I was texting him all the time.
I was describing to him like medical problems I have, and he goes, huh. He goes, you really got a bum unit.
Jason and I shared a doctor for a while, and he totally violated patient-doctor privileges. When I said, oh, you know Jason Mantzoukas, right? And he goes, yeah, I'm surprised that guy isn't dead. But I not only did I get the ladder out of the garage to put it up to where I have to change the filter, but I went down to the hardware store to buy new filters and also did some shopping when I was down there. I like a hardware
baller.
Store.
Baller.
Baller hardware.
Those
baller.
Feel as small
sure.
businesses.
Oh, so I got some Goo Gone. I got some
ooh, I need
three-in-one oil. And anything
welcome
not to,
hardware to
watch this
talk
movie.
On the Earwolf Network.
We talk about cool little hardware places in Los Feliz, Silver Lake, and Echo Park.
And what you get there.
Oh, you're welcome, baller. But then I, of course, end up watching it. And you know what? This movie changed my mind.
Yeah.
I get it now. Like, that was a lot of fun, especially when my two daughters came in to watch it with me, which we'll get to later.
Wow. This, I'm very excited to hear their opinion of it, because you would argue they're the target demographic.
They are. It's a kid's movie,
yeah.
Right?
It is indeed.
I'm shaking my head for you listening at home.
So the Hulk gets to the house to take care of these kids.
Well, that's I guess that's okay. What I was trying to say before. No, he doesn't get to the house to take care of these kids.
He gets there to be a security guard.
Well, he drives on his motorcycle listening to...
With the yellow Walkman. Yeah. I thought that Walkman was going to come back in a major way after all of the...
Like the breath spray.
It came back in a very minor way.
Very minor way.
I want to show you this thing, because you're talking about the motorcycle, and as he's pulling into the house, the person who pulls all of our clips, Avril Haley, she pulled this moment of somebody abusing an animal... in the opening that I did not catch. So, here it is. Okay.
I just want to go fishing in the deep blue sea. Cause I need a change from my reality. This world will beat you down. Beat you with a stick. They want an ice cream pie. They want who to pick.
That is, wow. A person throwing a dog into the water.
Into a channel.
What? Holy shit.
That is...
That's amazing.
I did not see that.
Do you think the editors saw that?
They had to. I'm sure the editors played that clip
we
back.
You know what?
Back.
We only got the one take, so we got to use it.
We got to use it.
What
how much money do we have to paint this out?
Best we can do is send this to the local police, and they'll try and find Pink Shirt. They'll try and find the Pink Shirt guy with
due diligence.
Disposing of a dog's body in the water.
Throws a dog into... And that's not... That can't be an extra.
No.
It's not an extra, because an extra wouldn't...
No, okay, on action, the bike's going to come by. Throw the dog. Throw the dog into the water.
She was like... She saw the cameras set up there all day.
Play it again, Paul. I need it again.
Oh!
My notes mean nothing anymore.
What are we doing?
I don't get it anymore.
And I gotta say, that throw is not like, oh, it's playtime. Like, go for a swim. Like, the only thing different.
That, it's like, I'm throwing this dog away.
Absolutely.
Yep. I'm done. I'm done with this.
What's the best way to get rid of a dog?
I hope.
Oh, Google doesn't exist yet?
I hope, like, my only hope in the whole world is that at some point that guy was, like, sitting, flipping through channels, and was like, holy shit, that's me! Holy shit! Guys! Remember my dog?
When I killed that dog?
Okay, watch.
Remember when I lied to you guys and told you that the dog went to heaven?
That's me. I threw the dog in the river.
Well, I imagine it's really upsetting for the dog's family if the dog's family went there. Yeah. And they were all probably getting front rows and they're like, that's what happened to our...
Which is the major demographic of this movie.
Oh my God. 90
dogs between 18 and 34.
So he pulls up to the house. I'm sorry, June. He pulls up to the house and his mother's like...
Dude,
I don't know.
You had a point to make until you saw a dog get thrown away.
I forgot everything.
The question is, everything. Oh. Is he a nanny or is he a security guard?
He is hired as
we
a security guard.
We have not gotten to maybe minute 6 of the movie.
Oh.
Maybe we're at minute 9. Maybe.
At one point he even says that he hates kids, but he's okay being around them.
He's so good with them.
Is a nanny there?
Got it.
To solidify this idea that he's not the nanny.
Correct.
Okay. So then he shows up and the nanny goes running from the house with her head on fire.
Yeah.
So that's happening.
There's a lot of top of head injuries in this movie.
The things that happen to tops of heads in this movie are real crazy.
Thing.
One of them being male pattern baldness, as we'll get into later.
So, but... I guess... My question is, so he shows up thinking he's the security guard. The nanny... He realizes that all the nannies have left. Mm. So I guess what I'm concerned about... Is this transition from I'm the security guard for the kids to I'm the nanny for the kids?
Well, they basically say like, oh, the minute that woman is on fire, Austin Pendleton, the Steve Jobs character, is like, oh, the nanny company said no more nannies after that one. Like, he knows immediately
that they can't dip.
And they're like, he's like, well, why don't you do it? And he's like, okay. Like, yeah, like, he's like... He just signs up for it.
He's like, well, he says no once. And
yeah.
And he's like, eh, fuck it. I got to move this movie along.
Can't stand the first act forever.
But it's a pretty, and I will say about Austin Pendleton's character, it's sort of a leap. Great performance. It's sort of a leap to think that a security guard would also be your children's nanny.
Yeah.
He's meant to be protecting the children from David Johansen. My favorite thing is David Johansen calls Austin Pendleton on the phone, and Austin Pendleton says, who are you? And he goes, just your average psychotic criminal genius.
My question about that was, is he being sarcastic?
No.
No.
Heavens no.
If you saw the rest of the movie, you'd know... The answer is no.
Thanatos, sarcastic? No way. He's Greek.
He rubs his hands every time it gets evil.
And that's not a bad acting choice for a singer of a band.
Yeah.
Not necessarily an actor.
He also has a metal dome on the top of his head.
That doesn't get explained till minute 50 something.
Like, yes. I rewound it and I was like, is he wearing a hat, a steel yarmulke? What's happening?
Like a hammered chrome metal thing.
Then later on we'll find out that that metal head is the most powerful weapon used in the movie.
Yeah.
It's the most effective.
Oh yeah.
Well, also I want to talk about when Hulk comes to the house. Like, he's looking around, he's like, oh, what's this house? It's a pretty house. And he sees a pie on the table and immediately starts to finger
it. Disgusting.
like a weird pie pervert. It's like, oh yeah. And then the chef,
Mother Love,
takes like a meat cleaver and is like, ah, like gonna chop off his hand because he's eating, fingering her pie. And literally a pie, not her vagina.
That happened in No Holds Barred. Mr. Thanatos also has a fishing pole in this movie.
Fishing themes.
A lot of fishing poles.
There's a song fishing. About fishing.
That was very weird to me. I didn't like that.
I also thought that his journey as a character from sort of like he started off as a pretty low class. Yeah.
He seems like just a thug.
Criminal. Yeah, like a...
Well, I was very confused about this transition. Yeah.
To transition from that guy to like a high-tech...
Yeah. Like a Batman villain.
Batman villain.
He's like a Batman seems villain, like but then we realize later
leap.
On... Yeah, go ahead.
No.
That he is intimately connected
yes.
to Hulk and Sherman Hemsley.
That's in the second
what were the
movie.
Chances?
Yeah.
When the family shit is all wrapped up at about minute 57... We get into the bad guy movie, yeah. Which is not a children's movie, because that's when my kids came in to watch it.
We got it. We have to get to the. There's so many questions here because also, the Thanatos he's keeping very close eyes on this family. Now he has this metal dome on his head that was given to him by Hulk Hogan. You would think that they would
Not as a gift.
No.
Not as a gift. Not given to him like, hey, I wanted you to have this metal head, Cap. Happy bar mitzvah. Welcome to solid metal yarmulke. It's like that. Thanatos is the guy who's trying to shoot Hogan's dick.
Right.
Sherman Hemsley
stopped
the bullet.
Because he wouldn't throw a match.
Because he wouldn't throw a wrestling match. Thanatos is like a low thug who wants him to throw a wrestling match. He won't throw the match. They win the match. He tries to shoot Hogan.
Which we see well into Act 3. Into Act 3.
Sorry, I've jumped way ahead. David Johansen's got all this crazy hair. Hogan throws him out a window.
He falls off a balcony.
Oh, off a balcony?
Yeah.
And he lands
into
in
a pool.
An empty pool on top of his head. And what they explain is that his
brain
hair cushioned the fall.
Yes.
So he didn't die, but his brain matter was splattered all over the place.
Yeah.
But they scooped it back up,
Put a metal hat on him.
And yet he's smart enough to wrangle this team of thugs,
including
Wolfgang.
Yeah.
Wolfgang's the Arnold Schwarzenegger character.
And I would say the thing he seems most upset about, though,
is his
out
headaches?
Of all that, no, is that he lost that big old head of hair.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
My issue
like,
with...
That seems like the real crime there
yeah.
for him.
Well, I mean, I think his monologue at the end where he talks about his hair is amazing. It's a great, like, it's a real powerful monologue about the loss of his hair. But my whole thing is... This is his main enemy. Like Terry Hogan is his main opponent in life. So he kind of put that his revenge plot, I guess, on the side.
No, here's the thing.
There's no revenge plot.
He doesn't know Terry Hogan.
Idea.
Well, that is the security guard at the end of the movie.
That's my issue.
He has no idea that he's there.
And he has men on the inside that are working intimately with Hulk Hogan. So that should have been like, oh yeah, he's working with this wrestler. Oh, wrestler? Wrestler almost killed me.
You know,
what did he look like?
You know, I used to be in the wrestling game.
Well, maybe it's
before
somebody I
had
know.
This metal head.
But we'll go back on.
By the way, I would just like to say that David Johansen's performance, if there was a type of music or a piece of music that could underscore his awful performance in this movie, it would only be and was his own music that he wrote for this movie.
Can I show you guys real quick the flashback scene? We see how.
Oh, do you have it all the way through?
Does somebody in the background die?
Please.
And this one, another animal. I have, I think, until the shot.
Now, I just want to say, watch. how slowly Sherman Hemsley moves in order to block the bullet.
By the way, this should have been the cold open of the movie.
This should have
been.
Yeah.
This should have been what the movie started.
Not the 10-minute long dream sequence.
Yeah. Which has no context and never has context. No.
Except that the little girl has trouble sleeping too.
I ordered you to throw that match. You've cost me money. Big money.
Oh, yeah? Bigger than your hair?
We don't throw matches.
That's right. Of course, if you were soaked in some gasoline, we might throw matches. The flaming kind. And with that fireball on top of your head, you'd make one hell of a torch.
First to defy me? Then you mock my hair? You're dead! Look out!
An amazing.
It really is. It's look out!
By the way, also the way that that scene is choreographed, he was holding a gun the entire time.
Yeah.
That decision to kill was not made.
It wasn't rash,
but luckily it jammed.
Here is a great picture just to see the differences that everyone has with their hair and the similarities that they have as well. Which is they all had really nice heads of hair, and then they all go bald in the center.
Terry Hogan's character is named Sean Armstrong.
Ooh.
Which
ooh.
Is as literal.
Ooh, I didn't know
it. Is as literal as the music in the movie. Like, it could be Terry or Sean. Bald on
you
top.
You got this. You got this, bro.
Bald on top.
Bald on top.
Sean, high waisted jeans. Sean, jean shirt. Sean.
He does dress like Jay Leno in the majority of this movie.
Sean, my fingernails are really white contrasted against my impossible tan. Sean, I don't have anything else. I can't come up with anything else.
Guys, I can't tell you enough how much I love my Nature Box, okay? Each month, you get a box of delicious snacks. And just not any snacks. These are the real deal. No high fructose, no corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors or colors. These are smart snacks. And I know what you're thinking, Paul, if they don't have any of that shit in it, how could they be tasty? I don't know, but they are fucking delicious, okay? Each snack faces strict quality standards and are nutritionist approved. Nothing gets by them, but they still taste so good. So rather than picking up something that is bad for you while grocery shopping, have snacks sent to you at your door. And you don't even have to get it at home. You can get them sent to your office. So no more, you know, spending all that money in the vending machines. Fuck that. You're a human being. You deserve to treat your body right. I'm talking dried fruits, whole wheat, fig bars, all kinds of granola, which are delicious, by the way. Savory, sweet, anything you want. I like the macaroon granola. It's pretty amazing. I gotta say, the fig bars, also pretty fucking good. So it's a tasty treat that we're telling you that will make you feel good. So go to naturebox.com/how to get not 10, not 20, but 50% off. Holy shit, guys. 50% off your first month on us. It's time to get your snacks the way you're supposed to. Okay, so go to naturebox.com/how today. Guys, 50% off. Do it. Helps the show. Helps everything.
Let's get into these kids. Because I have some issues with kids.
Hey, man.
Let's
get into these kids.
Guys, I'm going to say, I just want to throw it out there. Would you guys agree that this wrestler's probably met his toughest opponents and they're not in the ring?
This movie came out 1 year after Home Alone 2, by the way.
A classic.
3 years after Home Alone 1.
Oh, this is 1993 this movie came out.
Well, do you think, because there's the whole thing about the kids going to public school and that being, that's a big part of the plot.
Meant nothing.
That added up to nothing.
Nothing.
But At a certain point, I thought, well, I don't know if these kids are acting out because their mom just passed away a few years ago, or if it's because of the public school education.
No, I mean, they're acting out because their mom is dead. Their dad is ignoring them. He is a horrible father.
That's the whole first movie. Their father's ignoring
them. Hold up. Acting out, they're killing people. The violence that they are inflicting is beyond prank level.
There is a workout / shower sequence.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to murder Hulk Hogan.
By electrocution.
Well, no, the kid says, it's a low voltage, so it won't kill him. And the little girl says, well, then turn it up.
And
she wants him dead.
They get theirs, though.
And
they
by the way, in case you haven't seen the movie, he is nothing but nice to them.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing but nice. As a matter
of fact, that's my problem with the movie is that, I feel like if he had... If the premise of the movie was that he's this big, burly guy who wants to react, who has these violent instincts, but then has to pull back on them to be Mr. Nanny, I can get behind that. But he's nice to them from the get-go.
There's a movie in there somewhere, is what you're saying.
So basically, he's a wrestler who is like, I don't have a gig. I guess I'll be this nanny, but I got these anger issues, but I can't let them come out because I'm a nanny.
That's kind of the plot of The Wrestler. Mickey Rourke.
But he's nice.
Great movie.
He's lovely to them from the beginning.
But that's the thing with Hulk Hogan. Is like, I feel like he can't ever have an arc. And as we saw this in the other movie, too. Because he's got to be like, I'm for kids. I'm for America. I'm for charity. I know about microchips. Like,
you know, I'm kind to fish.
Like, he's got to start off being awesome and end being awesome. And never in the middle does he deviate from being awesome.
Okay, the one thing I will say about him, though, is when he gets to the house, he really does spend a lot of time away from the kids. And I know that's in service of them having to do all these pranks to him, but he is supposed to be a security guard.
What's he doing?
He's at the gym.
I do know.
He is taking
a
leisure time in that
mansion. He's poking around in a mansion.
Yeah, notice that he's like, the house is safe. Like, that's not the safe zone. Like, he should look. That's a lot of rooms.
Look around. Check some closets.
He should be patrolling.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about something that I felt like I noticed, which was the house has a gym. But it also has lockers.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, a lot of lockers.
And
multiple shower heads.
And a big open shower.
Yeah. You would be multiply, like prison showering system.
It's kind of like a boxer gym shower room. Yeah.
So you would be like, oh, I don't want to go up to my bedroom to take a shower. I'll take one in the gym, which is 40 feet away from my bedroom.
There's likely to be no booby traps there.
But here's the other thing that I kept thinking with that is, so he's in the gym, and the kid, there's all manner of pranks in the gym, many of which we saw in the This Is Where Magnets Happen, guys, and all this. He worked, and then at the end of it, it's torture. At the end of it, he goes, huh, good workout. And time to hit the showers. Then the kids have rigged up another set of torture devices in the shower area where he is walking around nude. So the presumption is...
In the smallest towel.
Tiny towel.
His towel. I swear to God, you can see the bottom of his balls.
They are looking at 100% checking his dick out.
And he's just starting to get Hulk Hogan tits.
Yeah.
Like, it's around 1993, and he's really sucking it in. He's like, I don't have tits.
Hogan tits.
Hogan tits.
I just pulled up... Just so you get to see the level of violence inflicted upon Hulk Hogan, this is a montage of every time he gets hit in the head. A lot of head hits.
Such a concussion, like Alzheimer's. Next year.
The one prank I found very odd was the bed prank where he got into bed.
They short-sheeted
the sound effects. in this movie.
Wait, June, what's this?
Outshine
space?
Everything.
I just didn't understand what happened. They cut up his sheets?
They short-sheeted his bed. It's like a classic
camp trick.
Yeah, where you fold someone's sheets in half, so it only, when you put your feet in, it would only go halfway down the bed.
And that was evident by the sound of the editor going, "Rip."
In the context of him escaping death in other pranks, you know.
That one they didn't bring their A game to.
The majority of the pranks.
The majority of the pranks involve tripwires.
Yes.
And a lot.
Tripwires at the top of a staircase.
With a roller skate at it.
Tripwires in like horrifying situations.
I'm all up for a good pratfall, but this man would be dead.
Hulk Hogan is no Buster Keaton.
No. He's like Frankenstein meets Buster Keaton.
Oh, he's actually called Frankenstein.
Yeah, they call him fat.
I got the whole list right here. Wrote it down of all the things that Hulk Hogan is called during this movie. Butthead, Frankenstein, Lurch, One Tough Mother, Pucker Butt, Porky, and Wimpy and Gimpy. That's all that I could bear to write down.
Do we talk about how the treadmill in one of the classic pranks where they speed up the treadmill to go so fast, the treadmill has a couple settings on it. Like normal, like slow, normal, too fast, and then one marked coronary. So you could choose that speed of coronary, or was that to warn you that you were going to have a coronary?
When I was in my best shape, I used to run at coronary.
Did anyone else notice that the wardrobe for the little girl really had trouble with, because she was dressed like
Little House on the Prairie.
Too sexy.
She was dressed like she was in Mary Poppins. Like,
oh yeah,
she
right,
was...
not sexy, no.
She was in the strangest clothes in school, too. Like, very, very formal outfits.
She has Matilda.
And then the little boy, when he was going to stand up to the bullies, had a sleeveless dungaree vest.
Yep.
That's correct.
But here's another thing I don't get.
That's right.
I guess we're at plot C or D at this point. A plot is like there's a weapon that can stop nuclear war. B plot is...
never Hulk mentioned again.
Hulk is a security guard turned nanny. C plot is Hulk doesn't get along with the kids. D plot, oh no, I guess C plot is like Buster Poindexter. D plot is this kid is being bullied. Now, this kid is so good at pranking and hurting Hulk, yet he can't transfer that over to hurting the bullies.
Because he's the king of his castle, but at school, he gets bullied by bigger kids.
Well, the other problem is those kids know he's rich.
Yeah, Richie Rich.
Yeah, they saw the rolls pull up.
Yes. It's also very strange that Hulk Hogan seems to only be protecting the girl at school.
Well, they have a connection.
That's true.
And
that's true.
That is half thought out.
He's always in the classroom with her. He never seems to check in.
Well, one time he's in the classroom with her.
And we find out inexplicably that Hogan went to this same elementary school, and over the course of 7 years of being sent to the principal's office...
Well, he was the king of detention.
King of detention.
The principal knows him.
Yeah, he's known... He's like the principal's son. The principal, by the way, looked like that man should have died of a heart attack, as they call it, cut. Like, I felt bad for him. I was like, ooh, that guy's not healthy. Yeah, the principal's like, wait, you're Sean Armstrong? The Sean Armstrong?
King of detention?
Go, all right, get out of here. Get out of here. Like, yeah. He doesn't want to reprimand
him. I don't want any trouble from you, grown man. Uh-oh, wait.
I wrote down the
kid, you were a terror. As a grown man, you seem totally normal, but I'm still scared of you. I feel like this movie should have been called I Hate Kids. Oops, nope, just kidding. I love kids.
By the way, the principal was named, that was played by Sandy Mielke. Dude's name was Sandy.
Yeah. And you know, like, all through school, he was called Milky Sandy.
He's like, finally, I get the principal role.
We got to talk about the craziest prank in the movie, the pit of blood.
Oh, my God.
With seaweed in it?
With compost in it as well. They've put the compost.
Seaweed was definitely an element.
Yeah. Compost never showed up. It was just mentioned.
Weird thing about this movie. The sort of comedic moments they're going for, even the treadmill scene, they become so violent and so scary.
Yeah. Well, the reality of the pranks themselves are the only result for many of them would in fact be death.
Well, that's right. Here's my pitch. I'll add this pitch to your movie, June, is if Hulk was a little bit more of a hard ass when he first came in, he would be like, all right, kids, in bed by 6.
Absolutely.
Up by now. And they're like, we got to teach this guy a lesson. But he's so nice. He's like, all right, I'll drive you. Like, open the door for us. He's like,
and every time they prank him, they're like, how was your workout? He's like, invigorating. He's like, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction.
Because what I maintain, and I know I'm going back to this, is that he doesn't conceive of himself as a nanny. He's not taking on that role of discipline
you think
and
that he's
order
like fending
because
off
he's
attacks.
Like, I'm a security
he thinks he's
guard.
Like, he's like, all these attacks are from...
Yeah.
So at what point do you think he switches? The tea party?
Around then. It's before the tea party. He's starting to see things with the dad and realize, you know, these kids are not.
When he sings Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
I think it's the bedroom scene.
I wrote down at one point, I go, this is like a really violent Sound of Music.
Which had Nazis in it.
I think when he first figures it, once the dad gets the facts at the table on his mini fax machine,
that the kids have never seen before.
Never seen him pull out
a
pocket fax machine.
Which is like a calculator with a tape
It's like
thing
an
in
Apple
it,
Newton with a...
That your dad bought in the 80s because that was the new thing and you never used it.
And so he's like, hey, brother. You don't love your kids. Like, that's basically like he has a confrontation with them. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I don't.
I have something I want to talk about. Because I love, we do these movies, and I love finding weird, inexplicable parallels and echoes. So in this movie, there is another character who for most of the movie is silent and who has pre-written cards that are perfect for the situations that he is in and can just pull them out, give them, so that they can have a conversation.
But at least in this movie, they call it out, and he goes, oh, you're very intuitive.
It was actually pretty... That was the one funny moment
I laughed at that too.
Austin Pendleton had. He was like, oh, yeah, you're...
But what it was David Caruso
they kept
in
beating
what?
It to
in,
death.
Hudson Hawk.
It was Hudson Hawk. I was trying to figure out. I knew it was David Caruso. I couldn't remember what it was. But like that, I was like, this is a fucking the same stupid bit in this movie too. Because the guy gets hurt. Oh, it doesn't matter. Who cares? And he keeps having conversations where he's like, rrr.
Because he gets a neck brace on, which also has an attachment.
In
because
his
apparently
mouth.
his injury, he can't close his mouth.
Yeah.
Because
Wait,
of his
here's
injury.
The question. Was that guy the head of security for...
Apple. Austin Pendleton.
Yeah.
So he then brought in another security...
Guard.
Yeah.
Okay. Terrible. No, he's terrible at his job.
But he's but working for the purpose, bad guys. He's working right, for the so, bad guys.
So, but
which
I guess
he
here's
freely
my question.
Admits.
Which
guys,
he also
guys,
has on a card.
Sorry.
But Go why... Ahead. No, but just why not have someone pretend to be that guy? Why
Wait, what?
Search out?
Oh, that's really so smart. Why sabotage it?
So he's the head of security for this company, for right. Austin Pendleton's company. So what he does is he searches out a bad low-rent security company to
right.
protect Austin Pendleton's family. Why not just throw in one of your guys and tell them,
that's what I think
put them on the payroll and say...
Oh, I see.
Super smart idea. Much better idea to just hire like
or
one
why not
of the bullies.
Hire David Johansen's...
Bully.
Yeah.
Lackey.
The Bobo Steven Seagal
June,
guy.
You have a great movie in you. that is somehow based on this.
I really
And
do.
I don't think you're going to get any shit if you decide to write it and produce it.
What would you call your movie?
People aren't going to be like, wait a minute. She ripped off Mr. Nanny. Yeah, what would you call your movie?
Yeah, what would you call it, June?
Rough Stuff is Taken.
Rough Stuff.
God, I don't know. Well, see, I actually do think, here's the thing about Rough Stuff, and the movie will not be called Rough Stuff, but I do think there was, because this movie is split in two, I think Rough Stuff was the title of the second movie.
Yes.
So I think this movie, and that's the problem I have with it being called Mr. Nanny, because it's not Mr. Nanny. It's not Mr. Nanny at all.
But it's kind of Mr. Nanny.
It's not Mr. Nanny, Jason.
It's definitely not.
It's not. They don't play into that premise at all. If it was Mr. Nanny, he would, his whole struggle and his whole arc would be about
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Kids.
It would be Mrs.
I
Doubtfire.
Hate kids.
Or Mr.
This
Mom.
Is not a comfortable situation.
Or some other great movies.
Or the Tooth Fairy. Or
Kindergarten the
Pacifier.
Yes. That's not this movie. He's just getting beaten up by these kids.
Right. Maybe that is where there's no plot to it, I guess, right?
I mean, what you're pointing out is true, and I guess I'm pretty shocked that this Hulk Hogan movie isn't better.
But I guess this is what I have to say, because I just think there's such a clear...
I am shocked with you. This Hulk Hogan movie...
You guys do this every time. Like, how did this podcast get made? You guys do this every single time. Why are there stupid people in the world?
What I'm saying is...
We go in with the best of intentions.
We want to love it like
Crank 2 and the Fast and Furious
movie. You ever figured out how this shit gets made? You've never figured it out.
The investigation is ongoing. It is an ongoing investigation.
The data is not all in.
That's just the thing that bums me out, is that... There is a clear premise here. There is a clear game he could play, and it just never
happens.
They
got one of the best writers in the biz.
Oh! The writer of Mannequin and Mannequin 2.
Mannequin is one of my favorite movies.
Wait.
And the director of Mannequin.
Something
didn't that
Gottlieb.
Guy write something it's, else we've done? Didn't that guy write something else we've done?
As far as I know, he Edgar Rogoff and Michael Gottlieb wrote Mannequin and Mannequin 2. That's all I have for
And there's them. Other things that, no, okay. you wouldn't even put on this podcast.
The director, Michael Gottlieb, also directed King Arthur's Court. Did you guys think it was a little dark when Hulk Hogan told the girl that his father went to hell?
You know what?
My daughter... My 7-year-old, because my 5-year-old came in later during the violent fights on the boat, my 7-year-old actually had a comment about that, and it was, this is awkward.
She should be a guest on this show.
To me...
But I should say also, largely, I set the whole thing up like, all right, this movie's terrible, strap yourself in. And she laughed for a long time and started repeating lines. Like he just said, I don't even know where they are. She started repeating lines
That's
to me.
So, funny.
So, you know.
It is strange that he would... I think what's disturbing about it is that he would even introduce the idea or possibility that this little girl's mother could go to hell. Like, to
this
just
little
even
girl,
posit that is so
this girl
dark.
Is a sociopath. This little girl is like an evil genius.
Well, the little girl is the first one to kind of switch over.
She tries to pull back her brother at minute seven.
She switches over.
Did you guys want to talk about the pool of blood?
Oh yeah, we can play the scene. We can play the scene right now. Here we go.
Oh wait, this is there's not enough mayo for that huge sandwich scene.
Yeah, Hulk is a big guy, so he's got to eat a giant
sandwich. I get so OCD about the lack of mayo he's putting on this huge sandwich. Go ahead.
I get really upset with what he does to the utensil the mayo is on.
Yes, there's also, there's a lot of malt meat.
Look. Oh, I need way more mayo than that.
She picks up a different pan.
Cast iron. That's a cast iron pan.
What'd you do that for?
For making a mess, Porky.
You could have just asked me to clean it up.
Sure, but where's the fun in that?
Help, Jack! Help me!
Ignore it.
Don't worry. I wouldn't lift a finger to help those brats.
Help, Jack! I can't breathe!
Oh, my God!
Sucker!
I'm coming! Hold on! Oh, no, you don't! Oh, you little bastard!
Wow, now all he needs is a couple of horns, a pitchfork, and a pointy tail.
That is it.
Red dye number two.
The pit of blood, which means that they had to empty the pool of all the water, fill it full of whatever the blood that they are using.
And they've done it before. Yeah. Because
they added dye to the water.
Oh, they added dye to the water. Okay.
But they did probably have to drain the whole thing afterwards.
Thanks, Jason.
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I just looked it up. It's menstrual blood. Now, the little girl got her first period.
Before.
She did lose a couple teeth. During this movie, I noticed.
Yes, she did lose her tooth.
She lost at least one tooth during the filming of this movie.
And it in at one point, right?
And then it just was gone.
Yeah.
And then she started lisping.
Guys. What an idiot.
They tell kids a lot of disturbing stuff. One thing is that Hulk's dad went to hell. They also recount that story where Buster Poindexter shot Hulk in the dick. They tell that to kids too. But then when Sherman Hemsley shows up at one point in the movie, I find this interesting. They're like, he has the cane, and they go, what can you do with that cane? They cut to a very tight close-up of his hands, and he spins the cane around for quite some time like they're nunchucks, and then that never comes back. That is never used. That in the big final fight scene, never touched upon.
And also, like, it should be pointed out that that was such a tight shot that I question whether it was actually Sherman Hemsley twirling that cane.
Speaking of Sherman Hemsley and the big end of the movie fight scene, what do you do when you're... What do you do when you tie it up in a factory or a boat or wherever you are?
Oh, and you know.
You're all tied up, and you gotta get out quick. So you
and you have a machine gun nearby.
And the only thing there is an AK-47.
Oh.
You point the AK-47 up at you, you put your toe in it, you put your hands over the muzzle, sending bullets ricocheting throughout a building full of two children. It is like...
And then, though, you never use that gun again.
Nope.
Not to fend off the bad guy.
No.
Now, I thought you would love this because you remember the knife from Hudson Hawk with the foot. This is kind of an extension of that.
Oh, my God, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very much like my left foot acting here. By the way, that's a tricky thing. Like, if you've never done that with your foot, to get your foot in the gun and then shoot up at your face.
And by the way, the kick on that gun must be pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's shooting. It's a machine gun.
It's basically right here.
Mythbusters, we challenge you once again.
Jamie, Adam, hear us out. You get a machine gun. Star Wars. Please. Dude,
the filmography of Hulk Hogan. All right. Let's talk about the end here, because the end of this movie, what happens? Can we all... Because I'm not quite sure how they defeat this guy and what happens to him.
Well, there's a lot...
There's a part of me that says that...
Okay, I do think I know a little bit of what happens.
Okay.
There's a big fight going on. Austin Pendleton and his son create some sort of electromagnetic magnet situation that traps David Johansen's head onto the thing and spins him around to a speed and a degree that it launches him out the skylight, not out and into the ocean, but I believe into low orbit.
But that was my question. Is he... like, is it?
Because he just keeps going.
Yeah.
I thought it was like launched into outer space.
Yes.
Forever. Because also, we realized that his headpiece is landed.
Yeah.
His headpiece.
Well, that's what's confusing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because it seems like the metal head is what would have taken him out there. So you would have. The metal head.
Wait. What?
The force of the magnet going around. Forced him out and into outer space.
Sure.
But then that metal head comes back.
I think the metal head was like stuck to the magnet thing, but his body separated from the...
From the metal head he got in prison,
metal,
by the
from
way.
From the metal yarmulke.
I
think his body separated from the yarmulke and sailed off.
I see.
And then the metal yarmulke fell down.
Well, so,
the magnet was still on.
But his like exposed brain now is in outer space.
Yes?
He's been through that before.
Now, did anyone see in Gravity, do they run into him in outer space?
Well, I think they were setting up a Mr. Nanny 2.
Space Nanny?
I think also like in the very abrupt epilogue where they're like, I think we'll see him again. You think like, oh shit, are they setting up a Mr. Nanny 2? God, they were cocky.
Oh yeah.
But no, they had just set up another...
Well, but they
random horrible prank.
A horrible prank that would that one definitely killed him. As they
it would kill you.
That
they
would kill
tied
him.
A steel rope to the back of a motorcycle. He took off, and the last shot of the movie is him face first, no helmet.
But no, he's not going to die because he had wires on him. I saw them in the last shot. They're very visible.
Well, that's good to know.
What would have been awesome? You know what would have been fucking awesome? Is if at the end of the movie when he's riding away on his motorcycle, he's wearing the metal yarmulke as a helmet.
That would have been tough.
Well, brother.
Now, I was confused before. Okay, well, first, ballet scene.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Where
my daughter had a lot to say about that.
Adult-sized ballet costume came from that he was just wearing.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, where did
I'm
that come from?
I'm fine with that, though. I really am. But after the bad guys show up and there's that fight and then they take the kids and Bert, he's left alone with Mother Love. The police come and she doesn't want to tell them.
No.
What happened.
I think that is like, I think they were like, well, you know how black people don't trust the police. You know what I mean?
Because it's very strange. I mean, she was thrown in a closet. They were the kids have been kidnapped.
Yes, and she.
Why
is
are they holding
totally
information?
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's a black thing.
Oh God.
Right? I mean, this movie's super racist. Sherman Helmsley is called at one point. He's called Pappy, which. Isn't overtly racist.
No, it's pretty
but
racist.
But I immediately thought, Mammy.
Nappy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's in there somewhere.
Horribly racist.
It is bad news.
The ballet scene, was there anything else we have? Because I want to go
to the audience. My daughter said, during the ballet scene, she just was repeating lines at that point because she was having such a good time. She said, a 300-pound man in tights.
What did your daughter say when the violence started and when the waterboarding section of the movie happened?
Oh, no, that's when my 5-year-old came in. And she left pretty soon after. And then
finished... After being like, this isn't hardcore enough.
She is the more hardcore of the two. And then at the end of the movie...
She texts me like clips from Saw.
She always asks me to play Black Widow's fight scene from the Avengers.
Really?
So that's what we're working with. She came into the office, my office where I was watching it afterwards, and she goes, "Is it over? Yay!"
Uh,
Well, I'm sure that you guys have some questions that can cover some stuff that we haven't talked about just yet. So raise your hands, get them up. We'll talk to you. We'll find out what your questions are. Where are the questions? Ooh, a lot of questions. Okay, here we go. I'll start with you. Oh, yeah, I'll start with you right here in the middle. All right. So what's your name and what would you title this
June
movie?
Is up.
June is up and walking
June
around.
Is
June
up.
Is walking. June
name,
is not
what
sitting
What would you title
anymore.
The movie in your question?
My name's Greg. I would title this movie The Child Hunter, kind of like a bounty hunter but for kids.
Ooh, I like that.
And I had a question. Do you know what the budget was for this film? Because yes. In the credits, in
7.3.
The credits, swear to God, the catering is listed as TV dinners.
That's correct.
Well, that may be like a funny catering name. I could. That is. That like catering sometimes they have.
Those
funny
guys
names.
Are still around. They do a good job.
But it would be disheartening to be working on a movie and the catering company is TV dinners.
I have a catering company called Diarrhea Factory.
The budget was $10 million. It made $1 million on the first week out, and a total of $4 million. Not
and also,
huge...
the acts were separated by, like, iMovie blackout swipe transitions, meaning they thought, like, oh, we're going to be on cable TV. We're going to have to make way for commercials. Sorry, go on.
Your name, what would you title this movie? Well, you have a lot of notes here, and what's your question?
My name is Nick, and I would title this movie, I have no clue, Hulk.
That's good, Hulk.
Yeah, Hulk. That's all you need to know. Why is Sherman Hemsley's stuff constantly getting repossessed to a greater degree throughout the movie?
Yeah, that's a great question. It would have just happened once, you would imagine.
Well, it was different,
But they come every day, and they go, they come, I get that teapot tomorrow.
Well, now it's like, well, I feel like it's, well, now we're the phone company, and we're taking this away. Or now we're, was it the
Again,
same company?
Again, he should be getting a cut.
He should be getting a cut of whatever Hulk is making.
Yeah, yeah. No,
by the way, I want to applaud these guys.
I don't think Hulk got paid yet.
These guys are dressed in Hulkamania. Show off your Hulkamania.
Stand up.
Great costumes.
Stand up.
That's great awesome. Costumes. Yeah, show off your Hulk.
Wow. Stand up like June is right now.
All right. Come a little bit closer to me if you can. What's your name? What would you title this movie and your question?
I would title this adult child movie Disaster Number 4.8. First of all, thanks for noticing the dog getting thrown in the water. We watched the movie earlier and we were both like, what the fuck?
I'd like to see it again. I really would.
But my wife is a little shy with this. Also noticed that later in the movie, Hulk Hogan manages to infiltrate the bad guy's hideout. He goes underwater, and he just knows that they have this secret little water thing. He just magically knows.
That's a great idea. Yeah, go ahead.
He just magically pops up in the middle of their base. He's never been there before, but he goes underwater, and he doesn't drown. He magically finds the place he needs to be.
Yeah, the bad guy's base has a hole, like a mini pool, that he swims directly towards
like
and pops
Ed
up.
Harris in the Abyss.
Understand what was happening with that buoy number 53.
Oh, that was a huge plot point.
Yeah, what was that?
What was that?
Well, there's only one buoy in the channel. And he was like, I don't know.
All the buoys said too much. Were 53?
All right, your name, what would you title the movie, and your question?
I'm Justin. I call the movie The Pacifier and put the rock in it.
Vin Diesel, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Tooth Fairy is more of the Rock's movie.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Wasn't that one where he was a football player, too? And he...
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, that's...
Okay. I'm just going to go on with my question. Okay. Hulk, whatever the hell his name is having this recurring dream. So he's been having this nightmare all the time. Now, in the opening scene, he's fishing. So in the nightmare, he's wearing the fishing gear. But at the end of the movie, when he has a flashback to the nightmare, he's still wearing the fishing gear.
I noticed that, too. And I was like, I didn't quite understand.
Oh, it's just
didn't understand
all they did
that.
Was they just reused the footage. And they just they were like
$10 million, bro.
What if we put this at the end too?
We're only at 81 minutes.
We're
we
short.
Need a couple more minutes.
We're
and,
short.
And just if anyone knows what that flashback means, raise your hand because I don't know what that was referring to because he didn't throw that fight. But then he's a disgraced wrestler. And why are they all? Why.
Why are there like six wrestlers fighting him?
Yeah.
Oh, including
Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
I think the very weak setup was that he's being haunted by wrestling. Although he says he does want to go back to it.
See, I think the opening of the movie was the flashback scene, and then it was like him sleeping on the dock. He never had that nightmare. And then he's like, let's come work at the security company. And he just goes. I think they added all that stuff.
I think the whole movie took place in one of his neurological disorder nightmares.
It was an episode.
He dreamed it.
I think the whole movie, it's like Jacob's Ladder.
He's going to wake up with the fish in his hand.
The whole movie, the whole movie is a dream while he's fishing.
Yes, exactly.
The fish eventually, he's treating the fish badly. That's why in the dream he's being treated so badly, getting hit in the head all the time.
And he's going to wake up insane elsewhere.
Your name, your title, and your question.
Okay, my name is Louis. My title is a balding man in a tutu and some kids. And my question is, do you think that Hulk Hogan listens to this podcast and says, I can't believe my colleagues talk about me like this?
Well, colleagues.
Oh, so wait, many
so
answers.
You think...
Colleagues.
You think we're colleagues of Hulk Hogan?
Listen.
We wrestled in the WCW, okay?
I wish...
I'll have you know, brother.
I wish that I had played enough shades of people in my career to be considered for a Mr. Nanny type role. Like, oh, it'd be great to see him play something different. Like, yeah.
We'll take two more questions. Here we go. Your name, your title, and your question.
You had notes. You had like I saw you consult a whole bunch of notes.
I did. I spent a couple hours at work doing that. My name is Nikki. My title would be Practically Orphaned Killer Kids. And my question is, why do the bad guys take Mr. Jefferson and leave Hulk at the house?
That is a great question.
Why take the weaker of the two?
Maybe because Hulk is too heavy to carry?
Well, it's also strange. At one point, he says, when he's at the warehouse, he dismisses the kids and the chip and turns to Bert and says, he says something along the lines of like, now you're the reason why I'm here.
I'm changing reasons why I'm here.
It all of a sudden becomes about Bert once he puts together.
Yeah. Because what he says is, I was in this for the money, but now I'm in it for revenge too.
And he's like, oh shit, I should have taken Hulk Hogan and not Mr. Jefferson. I think that's in the movie too.
All right, here we go. Final question. Your name, your title, and your question here.
My name is Daniel. I would probably call it Downfall of Legend.
Wow. I'm sorry, who's the legend?
Hulk! Terry!
George the Animal Steel, who also makes an appearance.
I have
Terry Von Erich.
The first question is for Jason. Is there any update on Nundercover?
We were going to actually have something here tonight, but it didn't get here in time. But next live show, there's going to be a special
slight
thing.
There's a slight update, but I'm not going to tell you about it. So don't worry.
And the second question is for June and Paul, if there is any parental guidance that you gleaned from this movie.
Good question. Don't give your kids tripwires. And never take a kid's wallet.
Don't let your wife die.
I'm actually wondering if she...
I did think that was very selfish of her.
Yeah, she was a real bitch.
She left that crazy mad scientist alone to be preoccupied. And these kids went wild.
June, what did you learn?
It also seemed like she died very suddenly.
Wait, are you saying that maybe suspicious circumstances?
No, I think she may have been the workout nut of the family and built that gym.
That's what the gym was for.
And had a coronary on the treadmill.
Yeah.
And that was it for her.
What was the toilet seat for?
Hulk brings the toilet seat all the way to the hideout. Nothing happens with it.
To throw it as a boomerang, and then they turn on a magnet.
Isn't that my how daughter.
He got the thing? That's how he got in the thing and flipped around, right?
My 7-year old. I thought the toilet seat was going to be a real like weapon or something.
My 7-year old actually spoke to that, and she said, toilet seat. Love the movie.
I'll just point out one thing too. This kid is a gadget head. He makes a lot of gadgets.
And the girl likes ballet and tea parties.
The girl likes tea parties because come on, right? Boys make the shit and girls are girls. But the only thing they go to all the time is this fucking wallet that electrocutes people. That wallet is used so many times. Like, yeah. All I got on me is a wallet.
My daughter actually said to me, she turned to me, she goes, I knew that was coming because of the wallet. Like she was writing the movie as it was happening.
Well, obviously we had an opinion, but there are people out there that have a different opinion. Now it's time for a second opinion.
Second opinions! From top to bottom, crazy movies are fun.
They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
From the depths of Amazon they come. Second opinions for everyone. Second opinions!
These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. I will say that I don't know with Hulk movies, you don't know if they're real or if they're just being sarcastic, but I'll read them anyway.
Can you read them in both a real and a sarcastic voice?
This one I believe is sarcastic. This is from Zolrath. He writes, Mr. Nanny rules. What can I say? Christians have their Bible. I have Mr. Nanny. This has to be one of the greatest movies ever made. 5 stars. From Yarmouth County, Nova Scotia. This is 5 out of 5 stars. The subject is Thank. By Stephen and Christina. Glad to have it. Thank you very much. It will be put to very good use once again. Thank you.
Good use.
Thank you. Wait.
This Nova Scotia, they have their own time zone.
Is a thank you, I believe, to Amazon.
Amazon for sending the movie.
It's like, it's a thank you note to an entire corporation.
Thank you for
sending me the DVD.
Delivering it.
I'll put
to
it
me.
To good use. I appreciate it. See you at Christmas. Love, Steve and Christina.
And finally.
But I'm assuming she paid for it.
Finally.
I paid for it. You guys owe me $2.99, by the way.
Oh, what did you spring for HD?
I might have my settings preset to HD. I don't know.
I paid $1.99 for it and watched a significant portion of it on my phone.
On the way over here.
Calling all Hulkamaniacs. This is by Hulk Hogan Lucas. All this to say, if you haven't seen these movies or if you don't like them, then you're not a true American. Don't do that to your country. I didn't fight for this country to have people ignore this movie.
Wow.
Would you recommend this movie? Should people watch this movie?
I would say watch No Holds Barred. I mean, if you're going to watch a Hulk Hogan movie, No Holds Barred somehow seemed, it was more insane. But this is pretty bananas. I mean, this is bonkers. The other one is next level bonkers. Yeah.
I would say definitely watch the dog being thrown into the water scene.
We'll end on that. Rob, you really had a journey.
Yeah, I would say that, like, yes, this movie will always hold a special place for me because it's where it became different.
I'd say it's good. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Thank you to Nick Kiley. Thank you to Avril Haley.
Guys, what a fantastic show. Rob Corddry is the best. You can catch him on an upcoming season of Children's Hospital, which will be starting a little bit later this year, and also in the upcoming Hot Tub Time Machine 2, which is released at Christmas. Oh, yeah. And he's also in the brand new movie Sex Tape. That guy is busy. You can catch Jason Mantzoukas in the brand new movie They Came Together. It's available in select theaters and on VOD. And for us, you can follow me at Paul Scheer. You can follow June at Miss June Diane. Jason, still not on Twitter. A big shout out and thank you to everyone that helps us here. Our engineer, Cody. I want to talk about Lana Waldron, who does all of our amazing graphic design. I want to talk about Nate Kiley, who does all the research. I want to talk about Avril Halley, who just kills it with the clips. She's responsible for that amazing animal torture clip, which you can find at our Twitter and Facebook page. And of course, Katie Dyer, who does all of our social media. Now, guys, if we missed anything about Mr. Nanny and you want to correct us, go to earwolf.com, leave a message on the message board, and I will read it in next week's mini episode. Oh, and I forgot to tell you about this. We have an actual interview from a How'd This Get Made correspondent in the UK from Peter Fonda. Peter Fonda will be talking about Easy Rider 2 in the next mini episode. It doesn't get better than that. All right, we will see you next week. And that's right, we're back. So we'll see you next week on a mini episode with Peter Fonda. Later, bye-bye. Thank you guys so much for listening, and remember to go to naturebox.com/how to get 50% off for your first month. It's time to get snacks that you can actually feel good about. naturebox.com/how. Go to it today. Start snacking healthy.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.